As always, and as I've promised at the beginning of each of these sermons on the commandments, I want to remind you that what we are looking at, and as we look at the Ten Commandments, I want us to be reminded about the preface. Again, it's going to be a broken record by the end of it, but I trust by the end of it, you'll remember, if you remember nothing, you'll remember this. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. The Ten Commandments are set and are given to the people of Israel, and we want to look at them in this series on the Ten Commandments in the light of what God has done for us in Christ. He's delivered us from the slavery of sin. He has set us free. We are free people now, God says, in the light of the freedom I've given you, the freedom from sin and the freedom from Satan, and the freedom from death which I've purchased for you in my Son, I want you to walk in freedom. I want you to walk in my commandments. And so this, and even the third commandment, is a life in the light of the salvation we have. It's a life, it's a commandment lived out of thanksgiving and thankfulness to the Lord. But why this commandment, the third commandment? After all, what's in a name? I mean, if we ask ourselves, you know, what's in a name? Why is a name such a big deal? Now, we get nicknames, right? Now, many of us might have a nickname. I'm not sure if you have one, but some of us have get nicknames, and some of us don't like it. But others are pretty much not fussed by it. It's stuck, and you're kind of like, well, so be it. My name's a bit complicated. I was born, and my parents named me Jan Frederik. And being Dutch, they say, well, his name is Jan Frederik, but we'll call him Jan Erik, Jan Erik. And then I came to an English-speaking country, and then it's like, oh, it gets a bit confusing, so it became Erik, and now I have to tell people, why have I got JF in front of my name? But in a sense, you see, I'm happy with whatever you call me, as long as the thing goes, you know, as long as you don't call me late for dinner, right? So I'm not really that fussed about that. But yeah, some of us have names that we don't actually like. I won't ask you to put up your hands as to who has those names. But some of us do, and we're kind of like, oh, I wish we'd been given another name, but that's the name that we've been given. For others, their name is a big deal, and that's fine. That's good. My uncle, who just passed away about a month ago back in the Netherlands, I was named after him, and he reminded me of that quite a number of times when we would be on the phone. It was many years ago, but you know, like, you're named after me, so kind of, well, I didn't say it, but you know, make sure you live up to the name. Some people are particular about how you pronounce their name, because it's pronounced in a certain way, and it's not pronounced that way, it's pronounced this way, or spelt in a certain way, and that's good, and we want to and we want to do that. We want to pronounce their name right. We want to spell their name right. But in all these things, I mean, for some of us, it might be important, and for some of us, well, we don't really care about our name to a point. But why have this in the top three? Why have this commandment in the top 10? You know, the Ten Commandments, I mean, you would say that these are the important commandments. This is really the bare bones of all of God's commands, these Ten Commandments. How did not misusing God's name, how did that make it in the top 10? Is it really that important? Yeah, I don't know if you noticed in the Heidelberg Catechism, that puts it quite strongly. No sin is greater. No sin makes God more angry than blaspheming his name. And then we read that passage, well, John read that passage from Leviticus chapter 24, where that man blasphemed, cursed the name of God, and he was stoned. Now we can see, well, maybe, you know, somebody should get stoned for killing somebody, but for a slip of the tongue? Well, maybe that's the way we look at it. But why is it so important? We can see maybe in the first commandment, you know, you shall have no other gods before me. Yep, that's pretty important, only one God. We might even say, well, you know, the second commandment, okay, how are we to worship? We better worship rightly. Yep, we can see that. But this whole name thing, it just seems a little bit strange at first. And so what I want to do this evening is I want to see why this is so important, and then Secondly, to see how we kind of live it out, practically speaking. So firstly, the importance of God's name, and then how do we practically live this out? You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. To take the name of the Lord God in vain means don't use it in an empty way. Don't use it in a kind of, or don't make his name worthless or to no good purpose. Literally, that's the way one would read it. And to take the name means to kind of to take up or to bear or to carry or to let it come off from your lips. So we're called here in this commandment not to carry or to speak of the name of the Lord in a way that would make that name worthless, empty, or to no good purpose. And to add emphasis to it, just like we saw in Leviticus chapter 24, to add emphasis, the Lord says, we have then this commandment, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless. A double negative, not hold him guiltless. In other words, he will be guilty if he takes who takes the name of the Lord in vain. It's a commandment not to be trifled with, just to show the importance, the seriousness of this commandment. Why? Why so serious? What's the big deal about the name? Well, there's a sense where a name marks us out or identifies us. You know, over time, people get to know you, or maybe over time you get to know certain people. And when you hear their name, what you know about that person is what you think about when you hear that name. You know, all kinds of emotions and thoughts are associated with that name. Maybe even some experiences that you've had with that person are associated with that name. So when a name comes up of a person that you know really well, all these emotions and experiences and so forth flood your mind and you're reminded about them. And so it is with God. His name, the name of God, is associated with who God is. It reveals who he is. You might say his name is his person. His name stands for his character and his holiness. Who is God? God, the great God, the majestic God, the holy God. And you think of the awe that is due him. We sung at the beginning of our worship, or before worship, from 156. It's wonderful as you think about, give to our God immortal praise. Truth, mercy are his ways. Wonders of grace to God belong. Repeat his mercies in your song. And you start to think about when you hear the name of God, you think about the wonders of his grace. You think about the truth that he is. You think about his holiness. And you think about his greatness and his might. That's who he is. And so when you misuse his name, you reduce who God is. As somebody said, defiling the name of God, or defiling a name in general, is character assassination. Defiling his name is character assassination. You insult God's majesty. Remember in the second commandment, where it was, you know, do not make any graven images. No pictures or images of God. Why not? And we saw there, you don't do that, because what you do when you make a graven image is you make a picture of God as if you could kind of reduce who God is and all that you know about God into this graven image or into this picture that you make. And so you're reducing God to something smaller than he really is. You're taking away from God certain elements of who he is. And so that's what we do with his name. When we, as it were, scrunch up his name and throw it away, as we misuse the name of God and all the associations that come with it, we misuse the associations that come with it, and we misuse who he is. I was thinking about, you know, names and associations, you know, when you're naming your children, I think I can safely say we have, as a couple, we have more experience than anybody else in this building with naming children and coming up with new names. And so And it's interesting how that goes. I won't tell you all the gory details about how we decide about a name, but you know, I come up with a name, well, she will come up with, Gina will come up with a name, or I'll come up with a name, and then and it's, oh, no, we're not naming our child that. Because way back in, you know, back at school, there was a kid named that, and whenever that name comes up, I remember that. I don't know if you've had this when you're thinking about certain names. There are associations, you see, and so it is with God. We know who He is. And when we say God, when we say our Father, when we say Jehovah or the Lord, and we know what and the associations that come with that, because this is who God is, as He's revealed Himself in His Word. And so when we twist that, when we make fun of that, when we don't bear that name with dignity and honor, we take away from those, dare I say, those associations of who He really is. And so really, this is about the holiness of God and the greatness of God when we're speaking about the name of God. Now, I don't know if you've noticed, but in the first three commandments, the fourth one you will see as well when we talk about the Sabbath day, but especially in these first three commandments are really about God and the holiness and the majesty and might and the glory of God. You know, often when we come and when we think about the Christian life, maybe, we think about, you know, how does God relate to me, or how do I relate to God? Rather than, this is God. This is who He is. He is not a little God to be trifled with. He is majestic and He is holy and He is great. And that is primary. When we think about the Christian life, we're thinking about, okay, we live this life of freedom. So as we live this life, what we need to remember and need to know is who God is. Maybe not so much what I do, although that too, but who the God is that we are following and that we are serving. And so those first three commandments really focus us on that, and especially, well, and then this commandment as well, the bearing of God's name, the taking of the Lord's name in the right way or in the negative, don't take the name of the Lord God in vain. So what does this commandment encompass? Let's look at that now. What does this commandment encompass? We're still on the first point. We're still trying to figure out exactly what this means, not taking the name of the Lord your God in vain. Of course, what it encompasses is not using God's name as a swear word. We saw that from Leviticus 24. Okay, you don't curse the name. Blaspheme God's name. That's encompassed in this commandment, Leviticus 24. Now, what are some other ways that this commandment is broken? And I want to look through the Old Testament to see some other ways in which people break this commandment. Maybe some ways that we would not initially think about. Because what can quickly happen is, okay, well, as long as I don't use God's name in a blaspheming kind of way, am I okay? Well, the Old Testament would say, well, actually, it's quite a bit wider than that. So Leviticus 19 and Hosea 10 verse 4 says, you shall not swear by, well, this is Hosea 10, 4, but Leviticus 19 speaks about this as well. You shall not swear by my name falsely and so profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. You shall not swear by my name falsely and so profane the name of your God. And what's happening here is swearing by God's name. In other words, taking an oath, saying, I promise to do this, so help me God. And if you don't keep that promise, you're breaking this commandment. You're taking God's name on your lips lightly. You say, I'm going to keep this, I promise to keep it, so help me God, but you don't do it. You're taking God's name on your lips lightly, and therefore you are breaking this commandment. It's another way this commandment is broken. Another way the commandment is broken, in Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 25, the prophets, they have these They have these false visions, false claims. They speak on God's behalf. And the prophets were prophesying lies in my name. They were using the office. Sorry, did I say that? Jeremiah 23, verse 25. They were using their office as prophets, as God's servants, God's mouthpieces. They were using their office, and they were supposed to speak God's word, but they kind of used it to say what they wanted to say. And people would listen to them, and after all, this is the prophet of God. And he's prophesying in God's name. And he's using the name of God on their lips, and they're just saying all kinds of things that they want to say, not necessarily what God wants them to say. And God says, well, this is breaking the third commandment. You are misusing the name of God. You are taking my name on your lips and using it falsely. Another way this commandment is broken: touching unlawful things is considered a violation of the third commandment. Leviticus chapter 22, verse 2, we read, "Speak to Aaron and his sons that they abstain from the holy things of Israel, which they have dedicated to me, so that they do not profane my holy name. I am the Lord." People of Israel had come, they would dedicate something to God, and the people of God would kind of, the priest, if the priest were to take those things that have been dedicated to God, take them and kind of use them for themselves, they're profaning the name of God. They're breaking the third commandment. Remember that happened at the time of Hophni and Phinehas? Remember those two wicked sons of Eli, the high priest? And the people would come and they would give their offerings, and those two priests would come and take some of the offering before it was properly offered in the way that it needed to be offered. And the problem there was, you see, these priests are working in the name of the Lord. And they take the name of God on their lips. And the people had come and had said, well, this is for the Lord. And they're saying, well, we're servants of the Lord, therefore we'll take some of it. Thank you very much. They would be saying, as priests of God, they're supposed to be priests of God, taking the name of God on the lips, they'll be saying, well, look, I'm doing things God's way, when in fact they weren't doing things God's way. They're taking God's name on themselves, on their lips, but they're not doing right. Another way the third commandment is violated. Another way it was violated is offering gifts with their cynical hearts. In Malachi chapter 1, I didn't write this one down, but in Malachi chapter 1, verse 10 to 14, I'll read from end of verse 11. "For my name will be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts, but you profane it." In other words, you profane my name when you say that the Lord's table is polluted and its fruit, that is, its food, may be despised. In other words, they're bringing offerings that aren't kind of like, I suppose we have to. We kind of have to bring these offerings. Sometimes they don't really bring offerings according. Now, they're supposed to be really good offerings and right sacrifices. And they kind of bring, blemished lamb or whatever it might be. And you see, what's happening here is the people of Israel are saying, you know what? I love the Lord. And I want to sacrifice to the Lord. And I want to worship the Lord. And I want to give this to the Lord. When in fact they're saying, oh, look, I suppose I have to. I'll give whatever of God, and they're a bit cynical about what they give. And they're profaning the name of God. There's also when the children sacrificed to Molech, children of Israel, the people of Israel would sacrifice their children to Molech. Leviticus 18, verse 21, it profanes the name of God who dwells in the midst of his people. The children that God had given them, God lived among them, and the people of Israel were sacrificing and saying, well, we're the people of God, God lives among us, and yet we're going to sacrifice to this other God. We're going to sacrifice our children, the children which were gifts from God to them. We're going to sacrifice them to this other God, and God is saying, I'm living here among you, and you're profaning me. You're profaning my name. You're doing what is completely opposite to what I called you to do. And so you start to see, whenever God's people would say, look, I'm doing this in the name of God, in whatever way, whether it's the leaders or the people themselves, I'm a child of God, and I live according to God's ways, but they don't, and they don't sacrifice in the right way, and all those kind of things, they're profaning the name of God. They're taking the name of God on their lips and on their lives, but they're not living according to it. And so then you start to realize, don't you, that this isn't just about blaspheming and using God's name in the wrong way. This encompasses a huge amount of our lives, lives of the people of Israel, but also our own lives. When we carry the name of God, when we put it on our lips, when we profess to be His people, we cannot be phony, frivolous, and live in a way that is contrary to that name. So when we carry the name of God, when we put it on our lips, when we profess to be His people, we cannot be phony, frivolous, and live in a way that is contrary to that name. So let's look at how we keep the name of God holy, the practice, in other words. Well, first, the obvious, of course, is let's not blaspheme. Let's not use God's name as a swear word, an interjection, to add emphasis to something. That's using not only His name frivolously and lightly, it's using it completely wrongly. You're rubbing it in the dirt. Do not use God's name in that way. Secondly, and that was the obvious thing, but secondly, let's not use the name of God in a shorthand version. I grew up being taught that I wasn't allowed to use the name Jeez or Gosh or Oh My, because Oh My was kind of a shortened version of Oh My God. I'm sure there are other words as well, but there are words that have kind of come into our culture maybe, and they kind of roll easily off the lips, and it's not using God's name per se in a wrong way, but it's kind of using a short and abbreviated version, or a kind of a bit of a different version of God's name in a light way, maybe even in a swear word type of way, but either way, in a light way. So let's be very careful when we use God's name in those ways. Alongside that, and maybe with that or expanding on that, we need to be careful when we take God's name as God, Jesus, and all the names of God, taking it on our name, on our lips in a casual and unthinking kind of way. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 7, when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. You know, sometimes when we pray, we use the words Lord, Heavenly Father, God, in our prayers almost like an. Maybe we forget what we're going to say, so we say Lord or we say God. Now, we need to be careful here. We're all learning, we're all growing, especially like when we're teaching our children or we're teaching people new to learn how to pray. You know, this is not meant to frighten us into not praying out loud anymore, because in case we might say something wrong. It's not the point. It's not trying to heap guilt on us either. It's not about polished prayers either. Please don't get me wrong. That's not what Jesus is saying. It's not about polished prayers. We stumble around in our prayer, right? And we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, right? He intercedes for us. The Holy Spirit intercedes with groanings too deep for words when we can't pray the right things that we're called to pray. But let's be careful how we pray and how we use the name of God. I was thinking as well about quick prayers. Now, maybe this only refers to those who have children. We sit at the dinner table and everybody's hungry and the noise is going off the charts. And it's like, okay, let's just quick pray and let's get on with it. Right? So we can get stuck in and eat. And the thought and the problem there is, of course, we needlessly or thoughtlessly use the name of God without even thinking about it. So these are just, maybe they're just instances, and you have to go into your own life and think about your own life. How am I using God's name in a casual and frivolous way? Thinking about the leadership of the church, as we think about the Old Testament leaders of the church, of the Old Testament church that is, and they had to be very careful about how they spoke and how they used God's name and how they prophesied in God's name. I think as well about leaders of the church, and especially preachers of the gospel, maybe for myself, but also for others, when we speak to others about the gospel, we need to be careful that we are saying what God says. And that's where we have to be really careful with application. You know, the principles of God's word are much easier, if I can say it like this, much easier than application. Now, application sometimes can be, well, principles, you know, this is clearly what God is saying, but then application sometimes, you know, how do we use this in our daily lives in a 21st century? How are we to use our cell phones? How are we to use our cars and so forth, which aren't necessarily prescribed by the scriptures? But how do we live it out? That can be a little bit harder, and we need to be very careful that we don't prescribe things and say, this is what God says, or come across as if this is what God says. You know, we shouldn't use our car more than whatever, or we shouldn't use our phones more than 2 hours a day, things like that. It is not necessarily what God prescribes. It might be good advice, it might be helpful, but it might not necessarily be what God what God says. And so we're careful about using our authority in the name of God on our lips to tell and to show others how to live. And finally, for all of us, as we call ourselves Christians, we take the name of God on ourselves. We wear and we speak the family name. Not just our surnames, but the family name, the spiritual family name, right? We are Christian, followers of Christ. It's a great privilege, the greatest privilege, but it's also a vast responsibility. Because the question is, do we bear this name well? Do we bear it well? How are we showing in our lives that we are bearing this name, that we are living it out? If we live in an opposite way to what we confess about God, we are misusing the name of God. God says, this is how you live. This is what you are called to do. And we say, yes, we are Christians. We follow God. We have the name of God on us. And yet we live in this kind of way. We are misusing the name of God. Beloved, let's show well. Show the world the glories of God and the glories of our Savior, who He is. And then we're showing the world whose name we carry. Kevin DeYoung makes some helpful comments on Colossians 3:17 when he says, Colossians 3:17 says, whatever you do in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the Father through Him. Obeying the third commandment by living as Christians and by speaking and doing according to the family name that we carry. All we do in honor of Christ. We bear His name. We speak, not just speak His name, but people look at us and say, that's a Christian, and this is what, in that sense, this is what God looks like. Then we show it His name that we value and love. Name above all names. So the third commandment, quite wide. It calls us to live in a way that will bring honor to the name and not bring it down. So let's pray and seek the Lord's help to do just this. Let's pray together. Lord, our Father, You have called us to be Your people. You've called us to live in a certain way. You've called us to be children of the King, redeemed us, loved us, freed us. And so as we live for You, would You give us the ability, by the power of the Spirit, the ability to use Your name and to live out Your name in a way that will bring honor to you and will reflect who you really are. We confess this. We confess this evening, Lord, often we have not done this. We confess that we have fallen. We have abused your name. We have abused the privileges that come with carrying your name. And so we ask that you would forgive us again. In Christ, would you forgive us? Would you cleanse our sins by the blood of Jesus Christ? And Lord, by the power of the Spirit, would you equip us to live in a way that does honor you, and a way that does bring honor to the name of our King, our Lord Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.